What's up, guys? This is Mike Cashew, and you're listening to the Brute Strength Podcast. This week, I've got an interesting guest, owner of Redline Gear and Team Management Company, Matt O'Keefe. Matt is the CrossFit agent. He's a pioneer in the industry. He represents Matt Frazier, Katrin Davis' daughter, Brooke Entz, Sarah Sigmund's daughter, etc. Lots of the biggest athletes. And what he is doing is he's allowing these people to become professionals. He's helping them get endorsements and taking away all of the stress of managing the business side and competitive side for these athletes so that they don't have to stress about it. I know Matt personally. I've known him for a couple years now. He's a tremendous guy, and what he's doing is great. I think you guys will really enjoy this show. If you would, please go to brutestrengthtraining.com/podcast/reviews and leave me a review real quick. Thanks. Matt O'Keefe, what's up, man?
Mike, how you doing, my man?
Very good. Great to hear from you. I miss you, man.
I miss you too, brother. Great to talk to you.
Absolutely.
Catching up.
I was sitting down a couple days ago. I forget when we scheduled this, but I was just all of a sudden just really excited kind of about your story in general. And I think it's just a really interesting one that a lot of people in the community have no idea is going on, what you're doing. And I just wanted to sit down and, you know, kind of pick your brain about everything that you've learned over the past couple of years and gone through and stuff. So I'm excited. Thank you.
Well, cool. Thank you very much. It's been a pretty wild ride over the last couple of years. So
I bet.
It's been a ton of fun. I got to meet cool people like you. So
hell yeah.
I'm winning.
So will you just briefly tell us the story of how you became an agent in the first place and started representing CrossFit athletes?
Yeah, so I, I'm a CrossFitter, as a fitness model, not a competitor, obviously. I have been CrossFitting for about 5 years now, and I was an insurance salesman, and I was bored with my job, so I, you know, saw an opportunity actually in the clothing business. That was, you know, an agent. Being an agent wasn't my start in this industry, but I, I started a company called Redline Gear back in 2013, and worked really hard with that as a hobby. Overlapped with my current job as an insurance salesman, and it took off really quickly. We are. In Boston, we're founded and housed in Boston. And, I was lucky enough really early on, I worked out with a girl, a nationally ranked lifter that lifted with Matt Frazier at the Olympic Training Center and, in the, junior lifting ranks. And so Matt, the long story short is she introduced me to Matt before I even had a thread of clothing. And, I met Matt at the ECC in the fall before the ECC is what it is today. Mm-hmm. It's October 2013, and she introduced me to him, and I asked him if Redline could sponsor him, and he didn't really have anything going on at that point. He had already been to regionals once in that. That season, 2013. And Matt was my first sponsored athlete. I didn't have anything to give him. And, mm-hmm. He sort of helped start Redline. He was instrumental in, us bringing our products out. And, the rest is, it's not history. We still have a lot of work to do with Redline, but he's been, obviously an amazing, ambassador for that brand and, mm-hmm. and helped us move along a lot faster than we would have on our own. But, Matt, sort of is what started my agency career. Matt's not only someone I sponsored and supported, through, Redline, he became a very close friend. And, he had some things sort of going on from a sponsorship perspective and, you know, I just on the side, I was advising him, just helping him, and, you know, just from a business perspective, just making sure that, you know, everything was kosher and he was getting taken care of and he wasn't double signing away rights. And it was pretty basic stuff at the time. You know, I think 2014, we can all look for, you know, late 2014, this was a very different, you know, sport, and the economics of it for an athlete were way different than they are now. And so I was helping Matt, and, you know, Matt's stuff got busier and busier. And, you know, so it got to a point where, you know, I was at Granite Games and after the 14 game season, and I was just sort of doing that for Matt. And so I met a girl named Brooke Entz, who you know really well.
Who's that?
Brooke Entz, yeah. And, she saw my relationship with Matt. Matt competed and sort of what I did for him. And I think that they probably spent a little bit of time talking. And Brooke's wheels have been turning. And, you know, all those athletes, even unrepresented, had a foundation for business. And, you know, they've been sponsored or getting attention from sponsors for a while. And I got a call from Brooke after the Granite Games, and it was really simple. As you know, Brooke can be pretty direct, and was just like, how do I get you to do what you do for Matt for me? Mm-hmm. And I guess it never had dawned on me that I was an agent even for Matt at that point, because my work with Matt was a lot of just a friend being a friend. And then, that kind of increased, you know, he got, some great deals, and, you know, there was a little more to it than just me, you know, watching smaller sponsorship deals. Matt's become a big business. And, so I started an agency. I said, you know what, if I'm going to do this, I feel good about what I'm doing, and I know that I've done a really good job for Matt, and I'm going to do a great job for Brooke, that I'm going to start a business. So, I started Team Group in fall of 14, and it's been great ever since. We represent about 14 athletes at this point. It's become a really fun part of my life. I spend a lot of time on it. I'm super passionate about these people that I work with. I hesitate to even call them clients. They're friends, but I've learned so much in the last 2 years because of them, through them, with them. And it's so fun to see how far the sport and the space and, you know, and our industry has come just in the short time I've been involved.
Mm-hmm. What was it like when you first entered the space and started representing Matt and Brooke, with, especially in your conversations with the companies at first? Was there resistance, or how did all of that go and feel?
Yeah, it was definitely interesting. That's a great question. And I think that, athletes in CrossFit and, you know, having agents was not always welcomed, you know, and it's come a long way. I think there was a lot of resistance to a line between the athlete and the company. And I think that that's, you know, the perception initially, you know, no matter what, you know, the reason was for that. I think that the perception from a company perspective was that, you know, we're doing the best by these guys and we want a relationship with them. What do they need an agent for? Mm-hmm. I sat in a little bit of a different seat on that. I thought that, everybody's heart was in the right place, but it wasn't always a financial thing. It was, you know, there's too much promised. There's things that are promised to multiple companies that make, you know, the life of the athlete super stressful in competition, you know, and, you know, there was a lot more to it. And I think, like, you know, I might have been ahead of the curve with them needing a lot of help. But, you know, when I got in, I dove right in, and I wanted to be super involved in all their relationships and manage them like they were multi-million dollar deals, because I think that I wanted to set a foundation for, you know, expectations for these guys as sponsees and, the sponsors and, create some better ground rules. You know, some of them didn't even have contracts. You know, everything was a handshake and a buddy system.
Right.
You know, and I think, you've been in the space a long time that, that's the way this thing worked for a long time, but it's gotten way past that. You know, these businesses are doing millions of dollars and, a lot of it has to do with, who associates with them, athletes and, how they're endorsed. And so it was a tough existence at the beginning. And there was a lot of confidence put into me, particularly by Matt and Brooke, that no, this is my, it took a leap of faith from them too, where it was like, this is my guy. And, because people would try to work outside of me and they would say, and I was always up front, hey, this isn't about me. This is about Brooke and this is about Matt. I'm just here to make sure that, they're protected and, we're all doing the best by them. And, as much as it was for them, there's also, I feel like, a really important side of what I do for the company too. I'm able to hold these athletes accountable to their contract and I'm able to remind them in a lot easier way than the company is that this is what you're supposed to be doing.
And, right.
Bring a more professional level to them as a business as well. But that challenge was stressful for a long time. I look back and laugh at it now, but it was, there were a lot of, uneasy moments for me, trying to, build the relationships with the companies, that I was in this for just that, to help them and help the athletes. And it was a long haul, but it's great. It's great now. And people are understanding of it. And I think trust what we do for both sides. And, it's different today. It was a long haul.
Right. Who have been your role models or kind of what sources of education have you consumed? Like, when as you were learning how to become an agent, because I don't know if you were friends with a bunch of, baseball agents or what, but like, how did you learn and who did you learn that from?
So, I guess you could say I have a mentor, an agent mentor. I have a friend, growing up, my family was in the car business and, we gave a vehicle to a NBA player, D. Brown, from Jacksonville, Florida. He played for the Celtics for a long time. And, he's most notable for winning the dunk contest in 1991, covering his eyes and pumping his shoes up with the Reebok pumps. But he's, his agent is a man named John Wolfe, out of Minnesota, who, represented a number of NBA players, Amari Stoudemire, a bunch of golfers. And so, when this sort of came about, particularly when Brooke called me, my immediate thing, Brooke calling me and Matt was getting a lot of interest from, shoe companies and, his Nike deal was in the works. I picked the phone up and called John, and John's been inspirational in my confidence in what I'm doing, because what he's, all the things that he really talked to me about brought it back to basics that it's business 101. It's not, just because we're dealing with a personality with a company and an endorsement deal doesn't mean that it's, it's a whole lot different than, what I've done in the past, selling an insurance policy or selling a car or building relationships and networking in different fields. He made it super basic for me. And, my background in my professional background in sales, and, business management when I ran my family's business, and, as an insurance producer salesperson, have been really great training for what I do now. I just get to do something that I've always wanted to do, which is, not only be in the athletic world, but I get to work with people instead of products, right? It's, I get to affect people's lives, but also, this is, you know, everything's a people business, quote unquote, you know, but this is truly, being an agent is a relationship business and, you know, built on trust. That's not like, you know, just, you know, people knowing you and knowing who you work with. Like, you know, I pride myself on communication, and trust of my clients and the companies I work with. And I think that those are all the things that, you know, people that mentor me in general, you know, my agent mentor, John Wolf, had talked about, you know, my father, who's been, you know, inspirational and teaching me life lessons, like all these things are come along. You know, I work with, you know, Ben Bergeron. Ben is, you know, taught me a lot about life and helped with these things. You know, Ben's a deep dude. And, but I think, like, you know, I mean, it's even, you know, I look at everything like, you know, I have a mentor in the business that's just sort of handed me off and given me confidence to do, you know, you're good at this. You know how to do this. This mm-hmm. is the template for it. But it's more, you know, people like you and my clients, you know, and I use that word reluctantly because they're friends, but, you know, and people I work with on the company side, you know, those relationships have helped mold me into, you know, who I am and how I do things now. It's a, mm-hmm. it's a, you know, you're in this industry in a different capacity, but it's a really cool place to do business. And there are a lot of really great people. I enjoy the challenges that are presented with, you know, making a deal, and making the economics worth. But I think that the reward is the financial benefit for the athlete, but also, you know, these, you know, wonderful relationships that, you know, I've been able to sort of develop, and so have the athletes. It's a tight knit group, as you know. Mm-hmm. And, so it mold that, you know, long winded answer for that.
No, absolutely.
You know, it mold the community of, you know, that we work in has molded a lot of what I do and gives me a lot of confidence to keep doing what I'm doing for mm-hmm. the people I work with.
Well, it's definitely fascinating to hear. His name was John, right?
John Wolf. Yeah. John,
you know, that you had John to turn to, but as I suspected, you've had to learn a lot of this stuff kind of on your own on the fly, which is pretty amazing given everything else you have going on in life. And I'll talk about that in just a little bit. What is your philosophy on helping these guys and girls manage competition as well as business? And what challenges do you encounter balancing the two?
Yeah, they're, you know, that's been one of the bigger challenges, I think, has been that is, you know, in my role with that and sort of feeling that out. And I think, you know, I've taken a more significant role with different clients. I think like everybody I work with is a little different. You know, I'm, you know, a bigger part of an in-comp team for certain people I work with. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people I'm more of an advisor on just their business. But yeah, I mean, I think that overall, I learned a lot last year, you know, about, you know, preparation and what, you know, how much more, you know, my preparation means to these guys in their competitive schedule. And you know, and that's, you know, sort of preparing not only the athlete for things that I can be doing for them that weekend or those days, but also preparing the sponsors better for, you know, expectations for communication, expectations for, you know, social media posting, attention to their brand on the floor, you know, depending on how the contracts work. But I think that, you know, there was some stressful situations last year, I think, you know, and a lot of it had to do with, you know, me, you know, this thing getting bigger and there being more responsibility and more invested. And I think, you know, me learning, you know, a lot about how, you know, that's the moment, excuse me, that's the moment that all the eyeballs are on these guys. And, you know, there are a lot of companies that feel like that's, you know, those 4 days around regionals, those, you know, that week around the games is the time that people want to hear from these guys. And I need to, you know, be very, you know, plan, you know, well planned for, you know, all of the little things with social media and communication with their teams, their sponsors, and, you know, and being really giving them a template for what they're supposed to wear. Little things that, you know, you wouldn't think of, but like, you know, the shaker bottle they're carrying on the floor, and, you know, just all that little stuff, I'm going to be so much more involved in this year with, you know, a certain number of them. But, that's been the biggest thing I've had to learn. You know, I think my perception before last year of my role with these guys was that I was their business manager, agent. I got the deals done, you know, made sure that they knew what they were supposed to do, you know, made sure responsibilities weren't promised, you know, to multiple companies, and then they would handle everything on the floor. And, you know, and I'd be there to help if there was any chaos. And, you know, all that did was create chaos, you know, and I think that, you know, I've learned, and I was able to sort of manage it through some of those weekends last year, but I learned a lot. And, you know, I'm constantly looking to get better. And so that these guys can do what is most important, which is win. They're all in this to win the CrossFit Games, win the region. They all have their goals. And, you know, if I can do more to help that's what I'm here for. And so, you know, I think, you know, my role with all of them will be very defined is the best answer to that this year. And I will, you know, be very sure that, you know, they all have a template for success, which is, you know, that their head is super clear. They're not dealing with any business things when it comes Thursday at regionals to Sunday. And if there is important business to be taken care of over that weekend, which is okay. You know, they are athletes first, but, you know, the way they're able to be their best is because sponsors support them, and, you know, allow them to train full time and with a free mind and not have to stress about, you know, certain things either in their training from a product perspective or because they're financially rewarded for their success and, you know, and to help with their training. So I think that, you know, if there's business to be handled in comp, it's just, you know, everything's planning and communication. And I think that's, you know, something that, you know, I've gotten way better at. And this year, I'm sure we'll present a new host of challenges. But I think that, you know, me, myself and my team and the athletes I work with have got a very good sense of what it's going to take for them to be their best. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what I'm here for is, you know, I'm not a coach. I don't, you know, tell them how to, you know, clean heavy weight or, you know, move faster in a workout. You know, I do, you know, I am there as a punching bag to work out with them occasionally. But I think that, you know, my role, I take a lot of pride in my role, and I think it's significant for them. And on the mental side, you know, I'm there for, you know, to help them mentally and to free their mind.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and you're making them, you're essentially making them into professional athletes. Ben and I interviewed Ben a couple weeks ago, and he talked about how he makes it mandatory that anyone that works with him be a professional and that they have no other job, right? They're just an athlete. And you are making it possible for these guys to do that so they can focus on their sport, on winning. And you're basically making the good, great, and the best even better, you know? So it's awesome. And it's from a coach's perspective, I mean, you're a fucking godsend. You know, now we don't have to do all the scheduling and stuff like that. So it allows us to do our jobs better as well.
Well, thank you. That's the goal. And I think, you know, to piggyback what Ben has to say on that, and, you know, and you and I have spoken a lot about it. I think it's, you know, they're, you know, helping the athlete, you know, become better at what they do as the total package. I mean, there's athletes that are great athletes, and then there are athletes that are marketable, and then there's athletes that are, you know, marketable, they're great athletes, and then they're professionals in the way they're endorsed. And there's so many different levels, and I work with them all, and I think that helping them advance, you know, in all those areas is a lot of fun, and it's a challenge, and it's stressful, but it's I mean, making them more professional and is something I think that was, this wasn't about money for me. You know, in you know, everything's in business, you know, you have to put food on the table. But I think that, you know, when I get into this, and it's still to this day, I ask myself the question often, like, if I hit the lottery, what would I do? And I've never been in a position in my life where I felt more strongly about saying that I would still do what I do, because I love what I do, because it's you know, it's so much fun to mold and to help people advance and become more professional. And, you know, it's, you know, and you're more privy to a lot of things that go on, because you coach somebody that I work with as well. And I think that, it's where these guys are today compared to where they were 2 years ago, not only physically, the physical stuff is very measurable. It's so easy to see, you know, a lot of times, but just personally, as businesses, as people, which is so important too, and it all lumped in together, is so rewarding. And it's literally what all this is about for me, is right. is putting, you know, you and I know they're all good people, right? But these things, sponsorship and, you know, the stress of winning and money, like all these things create, you know, uncomfortable situations for people. And, you know, people, you know, it's in there, you know, helping them be the best of them, even with all that stress and everything piling on top of them, is a challenge sometimes, because there's just so, it's so different than what it was 5 years ago. You know, it wasn't, you know, the games was, you know, advancing greatly, and it's tremendous, and it's wild where it's going. And it's just, but it was still a bro session, you know, and it's you know, it's not that. It's a professional sport now, that, you know, you're not going to the CrossFit Games unless you've got a coach and, you know, somebody helping you with your business and your recovery. And you know, as you know, it's just, but I take a lot of pride in their personal growth and, you know, being able to provide them a platform to be their best, I think is the best answer. Like, to be professional, because they, you know, are paid to train, and they're able to work hard and overcome, you know, watching them overcome fears of, you know, being a public personality, all different levels of it, but, you know, accomplishment, you know, all those things. It's just, it's so fun to watch these guys. They're miraculous people. You do. And I do. I feel like I learn so much more from my clients than they do from me. I mean, I'm winning. I just, you know, I love what I do. I love the people I work with. Even in the rough, hard, emotional times, it's so awesome, because it's growth. And, I'm able to, you know, put that into my holster and, you know, use that as, you know, chalk it up to experience and grow with it. It's really such a cool job.
Absolutely. Tell me about one of your most exciting deals, maybe one of the early ones, or something that just made you feel like, fuck, this is real now. You know, not I've made it, but this is a big deal. Can you think of one of those?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think each athlete has like those that deal where, which, you know. But I think for you know, it's funny, like we as a group, like, you know, individually when I'm with them, we'll laugh about, you know, those moments in the past. And like what was, I think those moments aren't measured necessarily on the financial package. I think that they're measured on, I think, you know, a lot of those situations would be early on just working with Matt, you know, just getting an endorsement deal structured, you know, and, you know, fighting for, you know, a little more on the financial end, but also space, you know, and, right, and making headway and having the trust of the company. You know, I look back at like some of those deals early on with Matt, and, you know, they've made me so much better at what I do today, even in you know, without even divulging like the financials of them. They're, right, you know, they're 5% of what they look like now, mm-hmm, you know? And, but yeah, I mean, there's been so many great milestones for each of these guys, and whether it's, you know, whether it's Killcliff or you know, Reebok or Nike or Noble or, you know, any of the supplement companies, Nutriforce, you know, I think that like there have been tremendous moments that have been amazing, you know, celebratory accomplishments for the athlete, but just as much the companies too. I feel like there aren't any deals that I've done, which is, I think, one of the most important things for me, is like, I haven't done a deal with a company that a company comes back, can look back on and say that they got the raw end of that and it wasn't, mm-hmm, worth it. And I think that that's, you know, that's growth in our industry too. It's like, you know, they're paying more, they're like, not only are they investing resources in the athlete and their training and helping them, but they're, you know, when you invest in someone and endorse them, there's another level of investment on top of that, which is, you know, building content around them, marketing them, you know. And so I think that to have an industry that started, you know, throwing down in Dave Castro's backyard, come to the point where, you know, big companies like Red Bull's, you know, involved now, and, you know, all these big, you know, Nike and Reebok and, you know, the, you know, Under Armour has been and talks of it coming back. It's like, you know, these big, huge multi-billion-dollar brands are marketing our athletes now, and not because they want to be good guys and pay them, because it works, you know? And, mm-hmm, so it's been so cool to be a part of the success of an industry, I think, you know, because I'm able to sort of just be the keeper of some amazing resources, you know, which are our best resources in the sport, which are the personalities that it's built around. You know, it's been a lot of fun. I've got some really cool relationships now with all those big companies, and, mm-hmm, you know, they're, I think it's important to say too, that, you know, paramount to everything that I do is the trust that I have from the people I work with, my clients. And I think that, you know, and not even, you know, maybe 1A and 1B, but is the trust of the businesses that I work with, you know. And, you know, I have to protect my clients first, but, you know, I really value, you know, and appreciate all these businesses that are involved. And, you know, I feel like I have a really great working relationship with a lot of different brands, competing brands too. You know, I sit in an interesting seat, and, you know, maybe we'll probably talk about it a little later, but, you know, the whole Nike and Reebok thing, and, mm-hmm, and, you know, I've been all heavily in the middle of that whole thing, and I have great relationships, you know, with both, you know, and I have big name athletes with both, and, right, and, you know, they're both growing the pie, and we're all going to get a piece. And it's, it's been phenomenal.
That's great. I love that analogy. We're all growing the pie rather than it being fixed and there's only so much, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, that's an abundance mentality.
Well, that's it, right? So, I mean, you know, I think that, you know, when you look at this thing, and if you can get to 10,000 feet and look at us as an industry, as a sport, you know, when a company like Nike gets involved, you know, yeah, that's heavy, you know, stressful competition for certain brands, But there's also an argument that can be made that we just, you know, our footprint just grew massively. Mm-hmm. You know, you got a $32 billion company that owns 60% of the training shoe market share that's now involved in an industry that wasn't before. Our reach is a lot further. You know, that's great for brands that are, you know, smaller brands like Redline and, mm-hmm. and, you know, Tupud and, you know, Fuel for Fire and,
right.
You know, Noble. Like that's, you know, we now have a bigger audience, you mm-hmm. know, and so, you know, the hope is keep fighting, keep grinding and grabbing, you know, your piece of the pie. And, you know, I don't know, but that's, you know, I'm, you know, that's my philosophy on this. And I think that, I think it holds true. I mean, I think we all have to protect that too. Like, I think that there has to be some level of welcomeness to involvement because, you know, we have so much we can still do mm-hmm. here as a industry, as a sport. And, you know, the more involvement from people that are influencers in the sport world and sport in you know, with athletes and can help with that, the better, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. What do you, are you conscious of the things that make you personally so trustworthy? Why people kind of gravitate toward you and automatically kind of trust you with their pocketbook?
Yeah, no, would be like a real quick answer on that. Like, I'm self-conscious of that constantly. I think that's the one thing that I think I, you know, so there's actions and there's intentions. And you can intend anything you want and, you know, talk about it, but you know, especially when it comes to that word trust, you got to act that out. And, you know, that's, you know, I know I'm trustworthy and I know that I will always do right by whoever I'm involved in. And, you know, to no end, but, that takes time. You know, you have to act that out. And I think that, you know, am I aware that people trust me? Yes, because, you know, I know how I feel about my relationships with the people that I work with now. Mm-hmm. And I know how I felt, you know, a year or 2 years ago. But, you know, I don't take that lightly and I don't take it for granted. And it's not, you know, that's something that, you know, every moment presents itself a new opportunity to prove that. And subconsciously, I act that out. I don't look at moments and say like this, you know, I've got to do the right thing. Like I'm lucky. The way I was brought up and the way I was taught by my mentors and my family and my father and mother, particularly my wife, teaches me that you know, there's a certain code of conduct and you know, I have core values that, you know, allow me to be trustworthy. I guess I don't do that intentionally. I guess is, I don't know how to describe that. I don't do it, you know, I don't do it to be trustworthy. I do it because I care mm-hmm. and because you know, I want the best for everybody around me, whether it's work, you know, it's, you know, who I work out with at my gym, you know, CrossFit the Swamp in Swampscott, mm-hmm. or if it's, you know, coaching or, you know, Little League or whatever it is, I have one opportunity and, you know, when they put me in the casket, you know, I want people, you know, to look and say that was a good dude. You know, mm-hmm. and because, you know, that's important to me. I think that's, no matter if I have success or failure, if I always do the right thing by people, I'll have been the most successful person in the history of the world.
Right.
In my eyes, you know, and that's worked out, like, you know, from a business perspective, you know, I haven't spent a whole lot of time self-reflecting on, you know, what that means and, you know, how I've earned, you know, the trust part of things. But I will say that, you know, I got to think for every guy like me that's had some success, because being in a business that really requires that paramount to everything else, I think that there's probably a lot of guys that do the right thing that don't succeed. Mm-hmm. I'm aware of that. Like, you know, I'm very lucky. You know, I work with great people. I have a great team that I'm involved in and have around me that support me. I have an awesome family. I have great friends.
Well, and you've got some balls. You've got some balls to you know, take some big risk. I think that's the one where, you know, the good guys can lose sometimes if they just don't, if they're not willing to kind of go out on a limb every now and then. And that's something that you've done big time by, you know, quitting your day job and starting this whole thing.
Yeah, that's yeah, well, thank you. I think that, you know, I have a very supportive wife and kids that, you know, I travel a lot. You know, it was a big leap to, you know, put a proposed gap in income up on the table to my wife and say, like, here, I think that I'm going to get in, I'm going to be an agent in the CrossFit industry, you know, and it was like, sort of like that scene from Top Gun where, like, you know, Tom Cruise, who says, I'm going to put the brakes on and watch them fly by. And the guy in the back seat goes, you're going to do what? You know, yeah. I think, and so, you know, but I got to say, like, she, no matter how wild this ride has been over the last couple of years, that, you know, she's given me a lot of confidence to stay the course. And you know, so do my clients. Like, you know, I get notes from clients all the time, and it's, you know, my wife's, you know, is just super supportive and keeps me on track, but so do my clients. And, you know, I think that, you know, and Brooke has been inspirational to this, Matt, and so many others. You know, I work closely with Katrin and Sarah and Cole and, like, all these great people. But one of the things that I'm really lucky for is that how much they appreciate what I do for them, and how much they tell me that. And which, you know, for me is the most rich reward I gain from this is sort of the, you know, that, and, you know, how we all have bumps and rises and ups and downs, and they give me a ton, right, a shitload of confidence to, you know, they remind me that I'm good at what I do when I forget that sometimes, you know. But yeah, I got that. Yeah, I mean, I guess I put it out, and I look at that, like, you know, taking the chance thing in a little different light. Like, I was bored out of my mind doing what I was doing, and I had a big fuck it moment, and I was just, you know, that's when Redline started. I remember I was driving in a car ride with the owner of the Swamp and his wife, Mike and Jenna, and, you know, they're like, you know, and I told them, I got to, you know, I've been telling them, I got to do something. And like, you know, I sitting in the back seat, we were driving into Reebok to go work out and buy shoes. I'll never forget it. And they were like, I was like, I'm going to start a clothing company. And they're like, you're going to do what? And I was like, you know what? I got a great idea for a brand. I'm doing it. Like, I was like, it's just so like that. And that was the start of all this. But I think, like, for the first time in my life, I overcame the fear of, like, taking a chance on something. Mm-hmm. And which is a huge leap, you know, and get me wrong. I thank my, you know, lucky stars, and I'm so grateful that I had the courage to be able to, like, put myself out a little, because it wasn't always in my character. And so, like, that's been great personal growth. But I think that, that move, you know, I think, you know, I posed a question when I was, you know, doing things I didn't like, which was, you know, am I going to wake up and be 50 and still be sitting at this desk?
Right.
And it's like, how many people do that and wake up and, you know, they're, you know, they got, you know, not a whole lot of time left to live.
Right.
You know? And it's like, yeah, it's pretty awesome. I don't, that goes back to, like, you know, if I, you know, became so wealthy that I didn't need to do a damn thing with myself except, you know, hang out, I would still do this. And I mean that. So many people can say, oh yeah, bullshit. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, I wish I could prove it to people. I really do. I play Powerball, and that's my thought is, like, let me win so I can show you that I would not do anything different.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't trade, you know, anything I do for any amount of money.
Where can people go to find you on social media, website, et cetera?
You can shoot me an email. I think, the best place to get me is, Matt, M-A-T-T at teammanagementgroup.com, which is, there's no, double M in that. It's T-E-A-M-A-N. So yeah, that's the best way to get me. And, I'm not a self-promoter. I don't spend a lot of time on social media. I probably show up in a lot of photos on social media and people are like, who the fuck is that guy? But I'm all over all that stuff. I mean, I probably should use it more, but again, I don't have like a team group Instagram or Facebook page because it's, we have a website, teammanagementgroup.com, which has, if there's athletes out there that are interested and need help, there's a form on there that they can fill out. But we're not a fit for everybody, but we certainly, one thing I do try to do is if we're not a fit, I try to find a fit for that person. So shoot me an email or go to our website and check us out.